following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix and Miller Lite.
Hello and welcome to a special weekend edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, coming to you from Halas Hall as the Bears kind of licking their wounds after a tough game in Green Bay on Thursday night. Pleased to be joined now by DJ and Dane. DJ Moore, the nickelback, and Dane Sonsenbacher, the wide receiver, spending some time with us here on Bears All Access. I'm Zach Sabin. Happy to have you with us. Now, what happened Thursday night, DJ?
Pretty much just got beat, you know. I don't know. On defense, we made one turnover, but nothing like real significant. So, I mean, they were like had long drives and stuff like that, but I mean, I don't know. We played all right, but not like really good enough to win.
It's tough going to Lambeau Field. That's a difficult place to play, given the fact that you're taking on the Packers and just the whole environment that's created there with the fans, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool place to play. I think it's obviously tough being a visitor going into there, but it's a cool atmosphere. I think overall we just didn't make, you know, the big play that we usually make in a game. We have either at some point you get that big offensive or special teams play, and it just didn't come up.
Yeah, usually there are about 3 to 5 plays a game that tilt it either way. You know, on special teams, usually the Bears almost always get that advantage.
Right.
This was one of a rarity, really, where the other team got you on special teams. There was that ball to Brandon Marshall in the end zone that, you know, might have changed things up a little bit. There were a number of catchable balls that were dropped that could have led to first downs. There was that 12-man penalty. Sort of little things that kind of added up. A lot of self-inflicted mistakes for the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's when we were talking about it on the plane ride home, and it's tough to put it on, you know, one specific thing, because I thought the defense played well. You know, I think we had our moments and our opportunities on offense, but there was just never that spark or that one play that was really going to, you know, throw us forward.
When you're going through one of those games, and yet it's still tight, what's the mentality like? You're just one play away, you know, one big play here or there can change the whole game.
Yeah, well, personally, we just trying to get turnovers and get the offense, I mean, good field position. When you see it going how it's going, where their defense is really, really riled up, we just know that our defense got to try to outplay their defense.
DJ Moore, Dane Sonsenbacher, our guest here on Bears All Access. Your quarterback, man, he's taking a beating. I mean, and the reason I'm asking you guys about this is because you know him well. I mean, DJ went to Vanderbilt, and Dane, it seems like you struck up an instant rapport. Is that the right word with Jay Cutler when you arrived last year?
Yeah, whatever. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But he's, I guess the safest way to put it is he's a different kind of cat. That's not necessarily a bad thing. He's just different than some other quarterbacks in terms of the mannerisms, the gestures. I think on TV they focus a lot on that. When you're in the heat of the moment, is that something that you even worry about, that, you know, the quarterback might be making a face or gesturing or something like that? Does that even matter to you guys?
Not really. I don't know about you, DJ, but, I mean, we don't really look that far into it. I think, obviously, the media reads a lot farther into it than we do. You know, he is a different guy, but that's who he is. And when you can't ask a guy to, you know, change, because then how do you know you're not going to sacrifice, you know, how he plays on the field? You ask him to do this and do that, so I don't know. We don't worry about it too much.
No, me personally, I don't. I mean, it's how he is, you know. I just know he'd be ready to play. It looked like he don't care a lot of the times, but, I mean, it's fine with me. If you make a mistake, just go out there, you know, do better the next drive. So.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the numbers from his days back in Denver. His last season with the Broncos, Jay Cutler was sacked 11 times. 16 games, sacked just 11 times. Pressure matters in the NFL. And as a Bear, over the first two games this year, he's been sacked 9 times overall since he started wearing the Bears uniform, 119 sacks. I mean, that has to take its toll. And you know, when a team's coming at you, and I know, DJ, that's what you're trying to do defensively to the other team, is create that constant pressure. And you see it rattles quarterbacks.
Yeah, when you get pressure, you stop stepping up and throwing the ball. You start throwing off his back foot. I mean, a lot of quarterbacks do that, you know, kind of panic or whatnot. So, I mean, in the throws sometimes just go wherever. So,
what's the toughest thing, Dane, when the other team is just they're bringing the dogs and you're on the road? It's tough to begin with because it's loud and all that kind of stuff, and the other team can bring the pressure.
It's one of those things as an offense, especially as a receiver, you just have to avoid getting frustrated because I think it's human nature when stuff like that happens. You immediately want to, you know, get all mad and go on the sideline and try to do too much. I think anytime you have, you know, you're on the road, you're in a tough situation to begin with, you can't shoot yourself in the foot.
What's the toughest thing about losing at Lambeau? Because there's, you know, how important that Green Bay game is in this building, inside Halas Hall, from ownership on down. So it's not like a regular loss when you lose to Green Bay. Am I right on that?
Well, I would say so, yeah. I mean, I think it's tough. I mean, especially, I mean, since I've been playing, I haven't won a game down there. So, I mean, I'm just trying to pretty much get a win, you know, because it seemed like every time we go down, it's been pretty tough on us.
And it always seems like a playoff atmosphere in there anyway. So it's like, you know, you're in there, it's not a regular season game. You know, even if you're taking in the atmosphere, the fans, you know, even how the players treat the game.
Coming up next, we'll find out a little bit more about DJ Moore and Dane Sonsenbacher. Everyone's got a story to tell, and both of you have some interesting stories. I know you're looking at each other going, what are you talking about? Well, we're going to find out next with DJ Moore and Dane Sonsenbacher on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Subway, Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. on Fox Chicago. And Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by Toyota, Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago. Part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. I want to ask you guys about a couple of your teammates that have really been off to good starts. Tim Jennings on defense, DJ Moore. Man, that guy, what has happened? It was, I believe, the last time you guys were at Lambeau Field. He got benched. And since that point in time, he's got four picks. Had a pick in the regular season finale in Minnesota. Had two against Indianapolis to start the season. And then another one at Green Bay. He's been a man possessed.
He has. I mean, I think sometimes it's just your year. I feel like this is his year. So I feel like he may end up with about 8, 9 of them, I mean, at the rate he's gone. So hopefully he can keep that up and everybody else can pick it up and, you know, match.
How much work has he put in the offseason? Because it seems as though he's worked on his hands, almost like a receiver would.
I don't know. He could always catch. But I think it was just more in his head. So, I mean, Coach gave him a nickname, called him the Hawk, and all of a sudden he started catching. So I think it was more of a confidence thing.
And here I always thought he was a bulldog from Georgia because he does, I mean, he's great at tackling. He's very tough because he's a little guy. He's kind of like us, all of us in this room. We're not the biggest of guys. But, I mean, that guy's tough. Now, on the other side, Dane Sonsenbacher is with us here as well here on Bears All Access. How much are you benefiting from being in a receiver's room that has the kind of talent that the Bears have now, starting with Brandon Marshall, Earl Bennett, you know, even Alshon Jeffrey? What do you pick up just watching these guys?
It's been great. I mean, I've been in a very fortunate situation. I think, you know, last year it was nice to have Earl around because he was, you know, we were playing the same position and nice to have somebody to go to and ask questions and everything. And adding Brandon has just been, you know, that much better. And this is a guy that is already ultra talented, but he works as hard, if not harder, than everybody out there at practice.
And you're not saying that. I mean, we saw it during training camp and when practices were open to the public.
Yeah.
And this guy, he puts in the work.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't just say it about a guy that, okay, yeah, he's a hard worker. And this guy literally, like, I felt like, you know, my niche was that I worked hard until he got here. And when you see a guy that's that talented, that's still doing it, that's still out there early to practice, always catching balls, always working on his game, nutrition, everything. It's pretty awesome.
So have you changed things about the way you prepare when you watch a Pro Bowl receiver
yeah.
like him go to work? And in what areas of your game?
I think, you know, mostly in the stuff that doesn't happen, you know, between the whistles of a game or practice. I think I learned that, you know, you look at these guys from a distance and you think, oh, they're just freaks. They just do it. And, I mean, some of them may. But, I mean, guys like Brandon who have put in the work, obviously physically gifted, but stuff that's not even happening during practice, like I said before, taking care of everything, you know, whether it's in the meeting room, you know, diet, all that, workouts. I mean, it changes up how you approach the game.
And is he one of these guys that – does he teach – you know, in addition to just going out there and leading by example, does he share the tips with
you? Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice to have another guy like that in the receiving room. I mean, aside from Coach Drake, at some points, you know, he has a different perspective too. So I think that's one thing I like about our receiving room is that it's more of, and Coach Drake does a good job keeping it more of an open forum than just, you know, one dictator up in front of the classroom telling us how to play. Everybody just kind of discusses it, and it's great to have, you know, Brandon, who's got that experience and, you know, played in the system before to share that knowledge with everybody.
Now, DJ, when you guys face this receiving core in practice, it makes you better as a defensive back, doesn't it?
Yeah, because normally, I mean, you're not going to get to go against a guy like that unless we play, you know, Calvin Johnson or somebody like that. So, I mean, every day it was kind of hard in practice because once he came, everybody else, like, stepped the game up. So it was like, it was real. I mean, it got real heated at practice. So, I mean, it was real competitive.
Yeah, and you know what? He wasn't shy. I remember there was one play during Bourbon A where, I mean, he took it to Tim Jennings. You know, because Tim Jennings isn't afraid to talk, and Brandon Marshall isn't afraid to talk. And it was almost as though Marshall was taunting him on his way to scoring a touchdown on one play. I mean, that's the kind of competitiveness that you see on the practice field.
Oh yeah, when you got that type of environment, it makes everybody better. And I think Tim probably benefited, I mean, from it the most. Seeing Tim going against him in practice, it seemed like Tim was getting better and better. He had a great camp and is carrying over to the season.
Yeah, when you consider the type of receivers just in the division alone, I mean, obviously we know what the Packers have, Calvin Johnson in Detroit, you got Percy Harvin in Minnesota. You need that kind of challenge, I think.
Oh, yeah. You do.
I think it's been noticeably more competitive at practice, too, compared to last year.
And for the receiver position with this offense, it's different. A year ago, you mentioned it. You and Earl played the same position. Now, if you really want to benefit in this offense, you got to know everything.
Yeah. I think that's a main difference from what we got going now. You know, aside from, you know, different concepts and all that, we move around formations and everything so much that you really have to know them all. It's not like you can really focus in and, you know, zero in on one position because you might be flipped in the formation and then you got something else.
Right. I know in the middle of plays, in the middle of drives, you know, guys will flip-flop.
Mm-hmm.
And you really put the defense on its heels if it's working correctly.
Yeah, I mean, if you can, and that's the main part of it. If you're not doing it right, then you're hurting yourself as much as you're hurting the defense. But if you can, everybody get in sync, if you're motioning fast, if you're getting to where you got to be and everybody knows their assignments, you can just play fast, it's tough to stop.
Now, you were able to pick up the offense last year, what is considered to be a complicated offense, what Mike Martz was running, without the benefit of an offseason. You just kind of showed up, you know, when the lockout ended, and boom, you had to learn it, and you were successful in the early going. Now, with this offense, with the benefit of a full offseason, it's got to feel like a vacation compared to what you had to deal with a year ago.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, it was a different situation, too, in that we kind of got thrown into the fire with the lockout and everything that was going on. And it almost benefited us as rookies, actually, because it put everybody on that, you know, you were going right into training camp. There was no time to get comfortable through OTAs and everything. Now it kind of takes that stress away and lets you play fast. And I think that's the main part of, you know, playing in this offense. We've had that time to install it. You know, tweaks happen on game week. You change a little bit here and there, but overall it's all in and everybody knows it.
Yeah, and with DJ, you don't strike me as the type of guy who would spend a lot of time in the classroom.
You might be right, you know.
What does that mean?
No, because I heard
what kind of thing.
And here is what
who
I mean
says
by
that to somebody.
DJ earlier last week, DJ was asked about Vanderbilt was playing Northwestern, and they asked DJ about his time at Vanderbilt. And what did you say? You said I didn't spend a lot of time.
Well, I did. I mean, I went to school really to mean to play football, but I mean. I'm a smart kid. I just
well, obviously you went to.
Navy. I didn't do a lot of work. I should have did more work, but once I got good, I was like, I'm about to leave. So I mean, I just
Yeah, the reason I'm asking is, you know, there are kids listening. It's a beautiful weekend day here in Chicago, and not everyone is as gifted as you when it comes to playing football. So take advantage of it if you have an opportunity to get the great education.
Right, that's true. I mean, but I'm still go back. I'm gonna be a math teacher, so I'm, you know, so
how you
I'm
just
going back to school.
That into
though,
kids
know.
Listen up.
I don't know, but he worked it out.
And, yeah, I don't think he covered it at all.
All right, here's what we're gonna do. When we come back, I just want to find out how you ended up, DJ, from growing up on the mean streets in South Carolina, how you go from there to Vanderbilt, end up here, and become a playmaker for the Bears, a guy that they count on to take the ball away. Because there's nothing about you that seems like an ordinary path to success. You've had a very difficult time getting to where you are right now. Is that a fair way to put it?
That's fair, I guess.
Yeah, we'll find out for sure next with DJ Moore and Dane Sonsenbacher, who also, again, it's not easy being an undrafted free agent and finding your way to an NFL roster. Not 1 year, but 2 years in a row. That's next, right here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Listen to the Bears Insider Radio Show, brought to you by McDonald's with Jeff Joniak and Bears head coach Lovie Smith. Nights at 7 p.m. on Mondays on News Radio 780 WBBM and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. DJ Moore and Dane Sonsenbacher along. I'm Zach Zaidman. You know, in our last segment, I made it sound as though DJ never went to class when he was at Vanderbilt. That's not what I meant. When I said you don't strike me as the kind of guy that goes to the classroom a lot, I meant here at Hallis Hall in terms of, are you more of an instinctive player, or do you spend hours upon hours upon hours studying video?
Well, we just have to. I don't really do it on my own. Once I see it and stuff like that, I mean, I kind of get it. And it's just pretty much, I just work on my technique, so I don't really worry about what they're doing, so I just
see what I
myself.
Mean? That's what I was trying to say, Dan.
That's really what it sounded like, too.
Right, I know, right. I wanted to make sure that there was no confusion.
Appreciate it, Dan.
Yeah, so, you know, because you strike me as the kind of player that will spend hours upon hours
what
upon hours.
What does that
hours.
Mean? Yeah, see, I don't get where this is coming from. It's starting to sound really stereotypical.
No, it's not. Because none of you guys have had a stereotypical path to the NFL. I mean, that to me is, everyone has a unique story in terms of how they got here. But, you know, the hardships that you had to overcome from childhood to get here, I mean, that says something about your life, DJ, I think.
We struggled growing up, but I mean, I didn't really, I mean, see it as such. I mean, you would see your mom struggle to do this and do that, but I mean, it was, I don't know. Everybody was the same, so you didn't really see it like that. I had a lot of people to help me out, from like AAU coaches to high school coaches, so I really was never at home. So
were you ever tempted by peer pressure to go in the wrong direction?
Not really. You know, I do a couple of things, but I mean, I wouldn't. I was playing so much, you know, basketball and track and stuff like that. I wasn't at home a lot. You know, I seen the stuff. You know, I got a brother. He walk around with a gun holster on, with two guns, and then selling drugs and stuff like that. But I mean, I was never like, you know, the type that just do the stuff though. So
was there a moment when you were in college where you started to realize, okay, this NFL thing can be a reality?
Probably my sophomore year, I got pretty good. So around that time, and then I got ranked and stuff like that. And then I think the beginning of my junior year, when people started come talk to me and stuff like that. So
now, when you finally make it and you get to the NFL, the people that you were sheltered from when you were a kid, do they suddenly make an appearance all of a sudden? And
oh yeah, you'll see guys who are like, I gave you $5, let me get 100 or something. Just some weird stuff. You know, but it's normally like your closest relatives, your family, friends, stuff like that, who need stuff or call you and be like, well, you know, it's 5 o'clock, you know, my life's going to be cut off in 30 minutes. I need like $600-$700 or something. I'm like, man, well, at least give me a week, you know, to think about it. But I mean, it's stuff like that. But it's fine. I'm like obligated to a point to, like, you know, to help out. So I just do what I can.
DJ Moore and Dane Sonsenbacher, our guests here on Bears All Access. When you were at Ohio State, I mean, you're playing football at the highest possible level. with a terrific team. When did you know, okay, I can make the NFL? Because it wasn't, you weren't drafted.
Right.
At that point, you're in a situation. Did it almost work out to your benefit that you weren't drafted? And by that, I mean, now you could go to a place where you could fit your skill set with a team that needed that specific set of skills.
Yeah, at a certain point in the draft, I think it benefits you. I think if you're going to go, you know, in the higher rounds, obviously you'll take who has that interest in you. But, you know, towards the end, I guess it helps that you can, you know, choose. I don't think it makes it that much different. You're still going to have to prove your way on the team no matter where you pick. But, you know, at least you got that option.
Was it frustrating when you saw some of the guys that were getting picked high that you probably played against, watched on a regular basis, and you're like, I know I've got the skills to compete here?
Yeah, I think anytime any player that's watched the draft, and there's one guy every year that thinks he went high enough, and that's the guy that went first round, very first pick. Everybody else thinks, oh, that should have been me. So I think you watch the draft, you see guys that, you know, you played with, and I try not to go too far into, you know, the jealousy or being like, okay, they should have been me. Because like you said, guys have such different stories and how they're, you know, getting into the NFL. And on that day, all those guys are reaching their dream. So, I mean, you don't know what they went through to get there. You don't know how it happened. But, you know, it worked out for me the best, I think. You know, I got to go to a good organization. You know, I've liked being able to be a part of this team. You know, I didn't – through this year, you know, people were talking about, you know, rosters and cuts coming up. At least you put enough on film that you'll make it somewhere. Well, I didn't – really want to go anywhere else at that point.
But that's life in the NFL. I mean, there was a point where I'm sure, up until the point where they told you you were going to make the team, where you were probably thinking this might not happen here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in my mind, I was, you know, on this team until told otherwise. I think, you know, that's how you have to approach it to a point when you're, you know, out there playing. You can't. I never had the mindset of, okay, I'm putting this on. Although you are, you're always putting stuff on film, and that's your resume, what you have on tape, you know, regardless of what everything else says. But I never had the mindset, oh, I'm putting this out there for, you know, other teams and someone else. You know, your goal is
to make the team.
To make the team. Like I said, and I said it earlier, if you're starting to plan on, you know, your opportunities somewhere else, you're probably going to get those opportunities because you're not going to be here anymore. So I think you got to, you know, put your folks in the right place.
I always find it fascinating, as a guy who never played, to see competitive situations where you don't get a lot of reps. It's not like, you know, your first team and things are kind of decided already. You have a limited amount of reps and you better make those reps count. So if you don't do something right, how do you shake that off, bam, to the next play when you might not get another opportunity?
It's rough.
I mean, it's the business that you're in. And I think it, at the end of the day, it finds its way to work itself out. And I think, you know, you can't really blame, you know, the organization, the coaches, if you end up not making it. I would never put blame on the coaching staff for not giving me enough reps. I mean, you know the situation. This is, you're not, you know, it's a privilege to play in the league. It's not, you know, an opportunity that they have to give to you. They're not obligated to give you these many reps. So you take what you get, and it finds its way to work itself out in the end.
You know, Lovie Smith always likes to say that the Ohio State guys just pick things up faster.
He might be right.
Really? Is that true?
I don't know. I learn everything fast. I don't know.
See what I mean? He doesn't have to spend a lot of time. He's just brilliant, right?
Still backtracking.
Yeah,
still
you're right.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, more of the conversation with DJ Moore and Dane Sonsenbacher here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh.
Enjoying the conversation with Dane Sonsenbacher and DJ Moore here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. I believe this is the first time you guys have been on since we added this new segment to the show. It's called the Gibson's Player of the Week. Now, we already have a Gibson's Player of the Week winner from week one, which was judged on the preseason game. Remember that great catch that Dane had against the Cleveland Browns? Uh-huh. So he won the gift certificate, the first one to Gibson's. But time now to select our Gibson's Player of the Week, brought to you by Gibson's Bar and Steakhouse. The player we select will receive a $500 gift card to Gibson's, and for helping pick the player, you both will get a $100 gift card to Gibson's, the best meal in town. So I need the vote
500?
This week. Yeah, it's good.
Goodness, it, man.
Yeah, so make
Can
it
I get a
that's
meal.
What I said.
That's why. I mean, that's a feast. You know, you can bring a lot of guys together. Yeah. It's a good way to get the guys.
A lot of guys.
Well, not football players. Yeah, that's good. Or girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Cool. You can. I'm thinking about the team, but that's okay.
Bunch of dudes.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, again, not that there's anything wrong with that. All right. So here's the thing. We'll debate it. We'll toss it out there. And since we have the same thing next week before you guys actually play the Rams, we'll save defense for next week. We'll do offensive players this week. There are two games to choose from. There was the Packers game that was just played. You know, it's kind of tough, but the nominees from that game would be Kellen Davis, Michael Bush, Matt Forte. Or we could go with the Colts game where you had Brandon Marshall with the 119 yards, Jay Cutler lighting it up, 300-plus yards throwing, Alshon Jeffrey making a very impressive debut. So I say the Colts game. We should go off of that one because it was a victory. The offense played a big role. So between Marshall, Cutler, and Jeffrey, who do you think should win? Discuss it amongst yourselves.
I mean, it's for the Colts. I mean, it's Cutler probably a no-brainer for that one, though. So I mean,
I was gonna say Marshall.
Yeah,
maybe not a no-brainer.
Yeah, well, to me, it's
I'll go Marshall to that. I can do that.
I like to keep it in the receiver room.
Yeah,
and they get some quarterbacks down here, then they can give away $500 of their guys.
I think even Jay would say that Brandon Marshall deserves. I mean, he changed the complexion of that game, didn't he? No? From an offensive
That's a defensive
standpoint.
Guy. Yeah, I think he did.
I mean, 9 catches, 119 yards. I mean, that's pretty good numbers.
He did throw over 300 yards, though. So.
He did?
Yeah.
Because?
And that was out the starting, like, 0-8 or something. 0-8. So.
Yeah, he was 1-10, I think, initially.
1-10, you know.
And then,
why don't you split it? 250 is still a lot.
No, neither one of them needed $500.
That's what I'm
Gibson.
All right, are you going Cutler or Marshall? It's decision time.
Marshall.
So Brandon Marshall gets the $500 gift card to Gibson's. I think it's a good choice. Yeah, I mean, that's a nice way to start his Bears career with the 9 catches for 119 yards. All right, so speaking of camaraderie, you know, I was saying, you know, take a bunch of guys out to Gibson's and from the team. You know what DJ did for the defensive backs, right?
No.
In a show of unity. Have you seen those?
Those shoes?
Yeah, the orange shoes. I mean, bright orange. I'm talking like my hair. Bright, bright orange. And what was the – why did you do that, DJ?
Well, a different player gets them every year. I think last year Zach got them. The year before that, Peanut got them. So I just got them this year.
But bright orange?
Yeah. Well, they were, you know, it's the only ones I could find. Yeah. I had some other shoes, but they were sold out. So, but –
yeah. Interesting. And I
haven't got that deal working yet.
Well, I know a guy in your room who would definitely not mind. Earl Bennett.
You would think.
Have you seen Earl Bennett's collection of shoes? It's unbelievable. He's like Imelda Marcos. I mean, it's unreal the amount of...
I think he just get them just to take pictures of them, to be honest with you. He wear them every now and again, but he got too many pair of shoes to even just wear them like that.
He really might.
I'd be trying to go over there and get them for Christmas present for the family or something. Let me get a couple of these shoes and put them in the box.
Now, is it true he's got a walk-in closet just full of sneakers?
I don't know.
I think he did, but I mean, I don't know. I think he's looking for a house now, so probably the walk-in closet will turn into a walk-in shoe room or something.
Was he like that at Vandy? I mean, obviously, I'm sure he wasn't.
I think he was. He always had. Big he always fashion had a guy. Thing for shoes and stuff, but he wasn't like he is now. Now, He's really turned up a notch. So.
Yeah, I'm not going to – what's the right adjective to describe Earl Bennett? Fashionista?
Fresh and juicy?
Flamboyant? Outlandish?
I don't know.
He's hit or miss with some of that stuff, though.
Yeah,
he's walking here with something on.
He does have some interesting outfits.
Yeah. He's not stingy with the shoes, though. I'll give it to him.
Yeah.
He'll give them out too. Like if you ask him for shoes,
really?
Like they will show up in your locker at some point.
Now, are they used shoes
or no,
or
man?
Or
no, he'll get them. Now he'll get them for you. He'll get them for you.
He's got the connections.
Yeah.
Now, did you give John Hoke, the secondary coach, a pair of those orange shoes?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he told me he you'll never spot him wearing it in public.
Oh yeah, I don't know. It's supposed to be like a unity thing, but he don't want to be.
He doesn't want to be part of the crew.
Gil wear him or whatever. Gil got a little flavor. You know, Hulk ain't really got that type of flavor though. So, I don't blame him.
I love that. Oh, man. How do you guys have to see? This is what happens when you have too much time on your hands. I think you get all these weird. Do you guys have any like weird hobbies?
Mm-mm. What do you consider weird?
I having a walk-in closet full of sneakers to me is a little weird.
No.
Skinny jeans, all that kind of stuff.
No, I got nothing really. No.
Yeah, you guys are down to earth, low key.
He's got some dead radio right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying. All
right. Yeah, no weird hobbies to talk about.
So, are you one of both of you guys? Are you 24/7 football?
No, I don't think everybody or anybody on the team really is. I think you're consumed by it most of the time while you're here. And like I said earlier, if you want to, you know, bring your game to that next level, you kind of have to take it home with you. I don't think anybody would argue with that. But, I mean, there's stuff to do outside of football. Most of the time during the season, you're busy with it, but you got to have time here and there where you take your mind off it.
Just to kind of make sure you don't overload on things.
Yeah.
And give yourself, like most people who have normal jobs, you know, that aren't as lucky as you guys, you know, you just need a little escape. You get that opportunity, even during the season.
Yeah, I think we have, you know, Lovey's good with making sure that we have that time too. I think that's a great part and why a lot of guys love to play here is that, you know, he understands that that's also a part of the game and it, you know, help you clear your mind and remain focused. So you always have that chance.
We're taking the radio program to another notch. When we come back, are you a Bears authority? It's going to get very competitive with DJ Moore and Dane Sonsenbacher next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz, brought to you by Jimmy John's, is your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 p.m. on Comcast Sportsnet, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Zach Zaidman, DJ Moore, Dane Sonsenbacher with you on the special weekend edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. And guess what, guys? It's time to play Are You a Bears Authority? It always gets heated. Yeah, that's the buzzer that you will hear when a player feels like he can answer the question. All right, so here's how it works. I ask you guys a question. It's a best of seven. If you know the answer, hit that buzzer. First person to hit it gets to answer. If you don't get it right, the other person can answer. And whoever's got the most right after seven wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. So, DJ, you're going to be playing for Kyle D. from Champaign. And, Dane, you're going to be playing for Brian Drexler from Chicago. And if you're listening right now and you want to play a future game, go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page where you can also listen to all of our shows. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here we go. Dane?
Brandon Marshall.
No. All right, let's begin.
That would have been pretty good.
That would have been awesome. Question one. What team did Bears linebacker Blake Costanzo play for? Dane?
San Fran.
Correct. Wow, that's good. Oh, man.
Good, I'm undefeated in this.
Oh, that's pretty good. I mean, I knew the answer, but I didn't know if you was going to say he played for a couple of teams.
That is true. He did play for Cleveland before he ended up going to the 49ers. All right, question number two. This is multiple choice, okay. So be patient. Bears rookie quarterback Matt Blanchard went to high school very close to Hallis Hall. What high school did he go to? A, Lake Forest. B, Lake Zurich. C, Stevenson. D, Liberty. DJ.
I don't know. I'm going to say Stevenson.
Wrong.
Lake Zurich.
Yes. Oh, Dane.
Lake Zurich, is that close?
Huh. Yeah, it's very close.
I didn't drive to Lake Zurich. It'd be about 20 minutes.
That's that relatively that close.
Close.
Oh. It's closer than
the
city.
Close to Lake Forest. I'm like in Lake Forest. If it's that close. I'm sorry. I'm from the wrong place.
All right, here we
go. You seem confident.
I'm thinking like it's got to be Lake Forest. It's got to be close, you know?
All of them are technically close. All right, question number three. And by the way, Dane's got a 2-0 lead over DJ here. Question number three. What is the name of Charles Tillman's charitable organization?
Gotta be Peanut something.
Three.
Peanuts Gallery?
No.
That would have been clever, though.
I seen it. I seen something about the game. It'd be like the Peanut something, but I think that's
there
something.
There is a Peanut Gallery.
He got the little, you know, the thing they be showing, like Knox's something, Erlacher's backers. What is that?
That's yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that's not his charitable.
It might be like his
foundation.
Daughter's name or something like that.
It's called the Foundation.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, and you know, Charles is always into those charitable causes. Yeah. You know, and his daughter, she's doing well. All right, question number four. And again, Dane leads 2-0 over DJ here. Question number four. In what round of the 2008 draft was Earl Bennett selected? DJ.
Third.
Yes. Oh, he cuts the lead in half. There it's a 2-1 advantage for Dane over DJ. Things getting tight. Question number five. It's a multiple choice question.
Okay.
After forcing a fumble against the Packers, Peanut Tillman has the most forced fumbles of any defensive back since he entered the league. How many does he have?
Forced fumbles?
Dane.
What?
Dane hit the buzzer.
He got it.
So Dane, without even me giving the choices, can answer the question. Go ahead.
30.
Wrong.
Keep going.
You can't.
Yes, you can. Ask the questions. Go ahead.
Because I did not finish reading it.
I think you won off, but keep going.
A, 29.
No. Nope.
B, 21.
No. Nope.
C, 17.
No.
D, 10.
What? 29.
Yes.
Huh, it should have been 31, but whatever.
Are you sure that's right?
I mean, he showed us the stats or whatever. I know he's like 30.
You can Google it all you want. It's a documented fact. Charles Tillman, since he became a Bear in 2003 and entered the National Football League.
I think he does have more than 29.
Has 29 forced fumbles as a defensive back. All right, question number six.
2-2.
Okay, ready?
Close, though.
Yeah.
Right. I was going to say 31, but
yeah,
I'm glad you answered first.
But he was technically right. He did say one off. And you were just in the other direction. You got it right. All right. Question number six. Where did Bears defensive end Corey Wooten play his college?
Northwestern. Oh, my God.
UJ gets it right.
Softball.
That's it, right?
Yeah, well, we try to make it easy. No. We got question number seven here. And right now it's 3-2. DJ has rallied from an 0-2 deficit to take the lead.
It's automatic.
Well, I'm over here.
Yeah. DJ, if DJ gets this question, if DJ gets this question right, he wins a gift certificate from Sports Authority for Kyle D from Champaign. If Dane gets this next question right, he ties the game and we go to our tiebreaker. All right, so here is question number seven. Bears defensive tackle Matt Tuina grew up in the capital city of Pago Pago in which country? You know, either of you can hit the buzzer.
I'm not even going to hit it.
3-2-1. American
question.
Samoa is the answer, and DJ Moore wins the game. How about that? DJ rallying from the 0-2 deficit.
When you go to Vanderbilt, that's what happens.
Yeah. Know? Oh,
he must have gone to class.
Good stuff. All right, so Kyle D from Champaign wins the gift certificate to Sports Authority, and we thank thank you guys for playing. Are You a Bears Authority? Brought to you by Sports.
Give us one more question for the road. Just give us one more for the road.
That's it. We saved the tiebreaker.
Hold on a second.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking up your fact on how many forced fumbles he has.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to take a timeout here. When we come back, by that point, when we come back from the commercial break, you will have the answer, and we'll start talking some football when we return right here on Bears All Access with Dane Sonsenbacher and the winner, DJ Moore, here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ask a Bears question in the Toyota Fan Zone. Tweet any Bears-related question using the hashtag BearsToyota, and it might be answered during the Bears Game Night Live TV broadcast Sunday nights on Fox Chicago. If the selected question belongs to you, you will receive a Bears Pro Shop gift card to use the hashtag BearsToyota. Along with DJ Moore and Dane Sonsenbacher, I'm Zach Zaidman. You Googled everything, and we showed you the Bears coach's review of all the forced fumbles from Charles Tillman's career. And the answer is indeed 29.
According to you, yeah.
Yeah.
There's discrepancies. Well,
to me,
Sports Illustrated said it was 30.
Yeah. Well,
apparently, they're not reputable.
They're not reviewing it the way the Bears coaches are reviewing it.
All right.
That's kind of the way I look at it. And it is Bears All Access, so we have access to what the coaches tell us here on the show. All right, let's talk a little football because a lot of people will say, all right, you scored 41 points against the Colts. And then what happened in Green Bay happened. What's realistic? I mean, you guys have been around this thing the whole time, Dane, from the offseason until now. What is the Bears' offense?
Our offense, explosive, in my opinion. I think we have all the playmakers to make that happen. I think we showed it in the first game, and I think it's our goal. And you look at the Packard game, it comes down to making those big plays.
And they were available.
At times, I think, you know, they also did a good job at trying to limit us. You know, played a lot in cover two, tried to make us run the ball and limit those big plays. To their credit, I think, yeah, we did have opportunities to make some that we didn't. And I think that's going to be the difference. You could look at a bunch of different stat lines, I'm sure. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to make those big plays that spark your team. And, you know, we didn't get that done.
Now, based on what the Packers did, because it's a copycat league, based on what they did to you guys from a defensive standpoint, do you anticipate that that now is the blueprint to how people think they can stop the Bears' explosive offense?
They might. I'm sure, you know, teams will watch both films and, obviously, the Packers were more successful with what they did, but you know, we'll also have time to game plan, too. And we'll look at this tape and figure out what it is we could have done differently and, you know, how we can attack that and, you know, different, you know, offensive beaters for those defenses. And, you know, you move on from week to week, you got to evolve as a team, and I think we'll get it taken care of.
TJ, you know, one of the things that I noticed about the Bears' defense, a lot of people had question marks coming into the season, obviously starting with Urlacher's knee, and then, you know, guys are in their 30s, but there's some young guys on that defense too that contribute.
Yeah, we got the safeties, me, Tim. I don't even know how old Tim is.
How old is Tim?
He's not 30.
Let's do a double or nothing question on how old Tim is.
Maybe next week for whoever's on the show.
Yeah, so we got a lot of guys, and even the older guys play like they're. They're younger than the young guys are, so I think we're pretty good on D.
What I think has been really impressive is the pressure up front that the Bears are applying over these first two games. You know, the fact that Henry Melton is doing a nice job in the middle. Julius Peppers is an unbelievable athlete. Shea McClellan making some plays. I mean, there are a lot of different guys that have contributed up front. And as a defensive back, that has to help because eventually that's going to result in takeaways.
Well, it does. I mean, in what we play, we just, you know, play, zone most of the time. But, I mean, even when it's man, you don't want to have your guys out there guarding for, you know, 30 minutes to an hour because, you can't stick with the receiver that long. So when they're getting pressure like that, you know the ball is coming out. You know, if it's three-step on the third step, he's coming out. If it's five-step, it's not going to be. It's not going to be longer than that.
Because you guys both have the unique ability to answer this question. How long is too long for a DB when it comes to covering a receiver? If you're going out there, how many seconds do you need where you know, all right, I got this guy. It doesn't matter what he's trying to do.
Oh, I don't know, a certain time. I think, you know, anytime when we do one-on-ones too, you can see it. There's some routes we'll run that are just like an unrealistic amount of time. And you're bound to get open at some point.
Right,
if you're
right
out there just, you know, drawing up stuff in the sand and turning a bunch. But I don't know, DBs probably have a clock in their head.
Well, too. I don't know. I mean, after the guy runs the route, and then if you're on him, when he breaks it off, if the quarterbacks get outside the pocket where they start breaking back to the ball and then guys start going deep when your zone turns in, then you got to find a man and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't know if it's a particular time, but if they can keep the quarterback in the pocket, it's easy to do. But if quarterback gets outside the pocket,
that's when things get fun because you both have rules when the quarterback starts scrambling.
And it's probably less an amount of time as it is, you know, number of – you know, moves and change of direction. I mean, if you're running a go, obviously they can cover it, but it's a longer period of time you're with them. But if you got, like you said, scramble drill going on, you might have broke three different times in the route. You're bound to get open.
And it's all about it's a game of deception when you think about it. You know where you're going. They don't know where you're going. They're trying to play catch up the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's pressure up front, and then the whole game changes.
Well, yeah, you watch film, and certain teams do certain things. If it's in Trey, Deuce or whatever, teams do the same stuff just with different players or whatnot. So you kind of know from, just watching film because teams don't really change up too much.
Is it that simple?
It is that simple.
Yeah.
This isn't a complicated game.
You know, Vince Lombardi once said that people try to make it too complex. It's just a game of blocking and tackling.
It's true. You block good, you make big runs, or you just tackle well. And play good defense.
It is complicated. Those old sayings don't work anymore. There's a lot that goes into it.
That's what I wanted to hear you say.
Don't simplify our job.
No, it's to me, it's so complex. Offenses have become so complex. You know, to me, defense is still about what DJ. It's about creating pressure and getting people off their rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, and offensively, it's constantly trying to create mismatches to put yourself in a position where you can just move the chains.
Yeah, and I think Coach Tice talks about all the time that it's a matchup league, and at the end of the day, it's less about schemes and more about you know, man-to-man, more about you beating the defense, you know, on your own, or you beating the man that's guarding you. I think it can get – it's complicated, and you can overthink it at times. But I think, you know, offenses have evolved so much, and, you know, defense as well with how they disguise and how they roll coverage and everything. You have to change things up, and you have to be constantly – you know, evolving with the game.
All right. I hope this wasn't too painful for you. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the 3-day weekend. We had a very competitive RU of Bears Authority here on the show. For DJ Moore and Dane Sonzenbacher, executive producer G Money, Greg Miller, and Paul Zarang, who helped us blast through the speakers of your radio, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening and so long. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Sports Authority and has been sponsored by Toyota and Verizon.